Hello everyone, this is Regina, and this is the NTI discussion group. Hi Phil, hi Dances. So, something just hit me like 1 minute ago as Glenn and Yolanda were kind of signing off. And I guess I just want to check it with you all. It hit me that maybe this discussion group is something else that I can let go of. I've been letting go of everything that I can lately. Nisargadatta says, whenever you do anything, ask first, do I have to do this? And if the answer is no, don't do it. And that, of course, is so that you can spend the maximum amount of time in meditation, or in my case, in meditation and contemplation. And every activity that you get yourself involved in, that isn't of the utmost importance for you, might not be the best use of time. And what occurred to me as I was waiting, for my turn to take the mic, I noticed I was scanning the room to see if anyone was here, to see who was here, people that participate. And, you know, when I come in for the 7 steps to awakening, I don't look to see who's here. Because when I'm teaching the 7 steps to awakening, I'm teaching that for me. And if there's other people here, great. But if not, that's okay with me. And the same thing with the guiding light. When I'm teaching the guiding light, I don't look to see who's here. But whenever I come in for NTI discussion group, there's always this looking to see who's here, because I feel like I'm doing this for others, not for me, not for my own personal spiritual growth. You know, I've been through NTI 25 or more times, and NTI feels to me like something I went through rather than something I'm going through now. But the guiding light, when I'm reading the book of John directly from the Bible, boy, that feels very, very current for me. And the 7 steps to awakening feels very, very current for me. And so I guess I'm wondering if I should let this go. And so I suppose a part of my question is, how important is this really to you? I mean, I know that Phil, you're here, most of the time. Dances, you're here most of the time. Kathy, I don't remember if you come to this. I don't think you do come to this most of the time. Maybe I'm wrong. There were some other people that were coming in the beginning, but I don't see them now. They've kind of dropped away. And I'm just wondering, yeah, so it feels like whatever. Yeah, Kathy says, I'm not usually here. So you know what, I think I might just let this go too. Because I know what I would be doing with my time right now if I wasn't here. And what I would be doing with my time right now if I wasn't here would be much more important to my own spiritual path. Yes, Dances, you can say something. Absolutely, Dances, the mic is yours.
This really fits in because I noticed that I do spend a lot of time here. I don't come necessarily, I don't even look at the schedule, I just come in. And a lot of times I'm away listening, or sometimes I can't hear if I'm way back in the laundry room or whatever, but usually I just like have this thing like, oh, I want to go to the room. It's like a prompt, really, I guess, a nudge or whatever. Sometimes I'm here for NTI and specifically stay at the computer so I can hear, and it's been very helpful, but it's not like a routine. I don't have anything here as a routine. I do maybe Friday night, Festive Fridays maybe is the only routine I kind of have, and that's not even that. And that might sound a little inconsistent, just because I don't have any one. I learn from everything what I'm supposed to hear when I'm ready to hear it. And it's, if I get into routines, I tend to turn them into idols. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have the internet every day anyway. So I don't know if that, anyway, that's my input on what, you know, on your sharing. I don't want to see it go, but I'm not like a regular for that anyway, so I'm sure someone else would be glad to do the NTI spot anyway, so follow your guidance, of course, and we love you, and thank you, Regina, for dropping the mic.
Thank you very much, Dances, and Phil, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I think the best way to teach something is to practice it. And, you know, we get a lot of teaching about getting still and being silent in meditation and the like, but it doesn't do us any good unless we can actually put it into practice. And the best way to teach it, I believe this wholeheartedly, is just to practice it. So if you feel called to go and spend some time, you know, in silence and stillness, I totally understand that. And I do nothing but encourage you to do that. We've got an abundance of teachers today, more than we could, probably way more than we need. But the number of people that actually put the teaching into practice, they're a rare breed anymore. I mean, we talk a lot about it, but actually getting still and getting silent, you know, the one thing I regret, if anything, you know, not that I live in regret, but is that with the internet, we don't really get to sit together and meditate together, you know, in silence. You know, and I've often thought, is there some way we could do that? Is there some way we could even though we're miles apart, just take a little time each day and sit and not talk, not teach, but just be with one another and really get to sense that being with one another, you know what I mean? That's the kind of thing I really encourage. I think you're right on track, Regina. I might go to the mic.
All right, so I think that we're in agreement then. So I will let Lynn Johnson know. She might not be around now because Sharon is the admin right now, so Lynn may not be hearing this conversation. But I will let Lynn know that we decided together that this can go. You know, if there's anybody who really feels called to NTI, because I will tell you, at one time, NTI was right where I was at. You know, NTI, obviously, I mean, NTI, as you guys know, came through me. I am the scribe of NTI. And when it came through me, it was speaking directly to me where I was at that point. And then after NTI came, that's when I had the relationship with Laurent that lasted for a year and a half. And boy, I practiced NTI. Talk about practice. I practiced everything in this book. I read this book, you know, contemplatively time and time and time and time again. But, you know, if you are really progressing on the spiritual path, even if a book comes through you, right, even if it's your book, there may be a time that book is just put on the shelf because you did live that book. And you know, it was a great, great, great gift, but its time is over, right? And for me, I really think that's true with NTI. I love NTI, just like I, you know, really loved A Course in Miracles. But for both of me, for both of them, the time is over. Now, that doesn't mean that's true for everyone. You know, for some people, A Course in Miracles is right where they need to be right now. And for some people, NTI is right where they need to be right now. Reading this book and practicing this book is the best thing for you. And everyone, I think, can do that by themselves. But if anybody does feel they want some NTI teaching, you can go to the Regina Dawn Akers website under audios, and you will find NTI there. The only books that are missing in my teaching are Matthew, Mark, and John. Because Matthew and Mark, I always felt, were very, very introductory. The meat of NTI really starts in Luke. And the book of John, even when I was scribing the book of John, I knew there was more there in the book of John than I was ready for at the time. So the scribing of the book of John is, you know, it's helpful at a certain stage, but I always knew that there was, the book of John was much more than I was ready for. And now with the guiding light, I'm really, really seeing the book of John for the first time. So, the most important books to me, and I think this is true for pretty much everyone, the most important books in NTI are everything except Matthew, Mark, and John. And that's what I teach. That's what's on my website. So you could literally just start with Luke, do all of Luke, then skip to Acts, and then go all the way to Revelation along with me on my website, ReginaDawnAkers.com under audios. And so, yeah, I don't think I need to do this. but, since I am here tonight, I think I will do one thing as closing, if that's okay with you guys. I think I will skip over. We were going to start tonight Matthew 12, verse 33 at the top of page 27. But I think I will skip over to NTI Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to start at verse 24. So I'm going to start at page 28. And let's see if we can. We can still do this together as a discussion group. But let's see if we can do... page 28, verse 24. Let's see if we can do from verse 24 to the end of Matthew chapter 13. Because I think this is the core of Matthew. So since we've been in Matthew all this time, we might as well do the core of Matthew and then let it go. How's that sound? So Nancy, you may have missed. We've decided we're not going to do the discussion group anymore. So tonight's the last night. So, starting on page 28, verses 24 to 30, it's actually two paragraphs. Do we have anyone that wants to get us started tonight by reading those two paragraphs? Okay, tell you what, I'll get us started tonight. How's that sound? So here's verses 24 to 30. The choice you make will seem to be made many times in complete sincerity and truth of heart. And then you will seem to slip and forget the choice you have made. Do not let this distress you. Simply make the choice again. In any moment, when you notice that evil thoughts and thoughts of separateness have crept into your mind, give them up in that moment. It is moment to moment in which the harvest occurs. And so it is in the moment that you remember that you must also make the choice. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share on those two paragraphs? All right, tell you what, I will share. And again, I don't know if this is for anyone that's here. Maybe it is. But I know that these paragraphs are definitely for people. What this is, of course, is saying is that in your heart, you will make a commitment to a spiritual path. And in your heart, you may make a commitment to, depending on where you are, you may make a commitment to mind watching. I was talking to someone a little bit ago that I really think is at the stage right now of just letting go of resentments. That's very important for her. And so she's making a commitment to not entertaining a resentment for even a second. But chances are she's going to continue to entertain a lot of resentments for some time. You know, some of us may be committing to meditation. Maybe we've never meditated. We're like, you know what? I'm going to get up every morning and I am going to meditate. And then we do it for a morning or two and then we don't for weeks. You know, or some other type of spiritual commitment. On this path, what seems to happen to most people is that in the heart we make a spiritual commitment, but the follow through just doesn't seem to be there. It may not seem to be there for weeks, if you're really, really, really lucky. More likely, it may not seem to be there for years. You may make the commitment in your heart years before the follow-through ever actually occurs on a really regular and consistent basis. And so what these two paragraphs are saying is, don't let this distress you. Just whenever you remember your choice and you remember your commitment, in that moment, practice it. And in NCI, specifically at this stage, it is talking about letting go of any ego thought. It's talking about letting go of any thinking that teaches separation. And it says, whenever these thoughts of separateness have crept into your mind, give them up in that moment. But the loving voice that wrote NTI knew that it can take years of willingness before that highly consistent follow-through appears. And it doesn't want us to judge ourselves during those years where we are not being as consistent as we'd like to be. It just wants us to keep trying without judgment. Just keep trying. And, you know, there may be a spiritual reason for this fact that we seem to have this lag between when we make a commitment in our heart and when we start to have that consistent follow through instead of a highly inconsistent follow through. And that could be because grace does not come from, you know, a God who's out there in the ethers somewhere endowing us with grace. Grace may simply be the natural effect of our willingness. You know, there's a spiritual law, and those of you who listen to the guiding light, and I know some of you that are here do, those of you who listen to the guiding light, you know that spiritual law. You know, the spiritual law is if you take isness and you add an idea that equals some type of manifestation. That's how the whole world appears. That's how all activity appears. Will willingness or a spiritual commitment, a commitment to watch my mind and let go of ego thoughts, a commitment to meditate daily, you know, any kind of commitment like that, that is, you could call that an idea. And the willingness that goes behind that idea is a very potent power. And as we continue to give that willingness to these ideas, eventually they result in the grace that seems to create the consistency. Where there wasn't consistency, now there is. And so during the years when we are not consistent, or the weeks or the months, if you're faster than me, during the time that we are not consistent, to continually give willingness to be consistent and to continually do our best, even if we're only remembering, you know, once a month, you know, just to continue doing our best and continue giving our willingness. That period of time where we're doing our best and giving our willingness, that is building the energy, literally, of the grace that is going to come back and finally generate the consistent activity, the consistent remembering, the consistent, you know, very real desire to go and meditate now. So this teaching is not a small teaching. When it's saying, do not let this distress you, just simply make the choice again. This teaching is literally teaching us the attitude, for lack of better words, the attitude during the inconsistent time that is actually going to help result in the consistency. So you forgive yourself, and when you remember, you know, when you can, you do. And you forgive yourself for all of the times that you couldn't because you forgot or, you know, you just thought you were too busy. You know, I had willingness to meditate. I don't know how many years I'd have to go back and, well, maybe I can guess. I think I had willingness to meditate for at least 2 years before I had the ability to meditate for longer than 10 minutes. And then that first year of meditation was highly inconsistent. I would meditate closer to 2 times a week instead of 7. And although I wanted to meditate at least an hour, I think I seldom made it an hour. But now there's a consistency that's happening. And it seems miraculous. It seems like grace. I can sit down, I can close my eyes, and I can stay for as long as the day will allow me to stay. You know, on different days I have to stop for different things. But I'm definitely meditating. There's only 1 or 2 days a week that I only meditate an hour now. I'm definitely meditating longer and longer periods of time. And look at me. I'm letting go of unnecessary activities so that I can fit in more and more meditation. So that's what this is talking about. As we have that attitude during these inconsistent years of just doing our best and not judging ourselves, that leads to the consistency. Unfortunately, most people make the mistake of being extremely judgmental of their inconsistency. And when you're extremely judgmental of your inconsistency, you stay stuck. Because you aren't generating the energy that results in the grace or the future consistency, we'll call it. So the next paragraph, 31 to 32, is there anyone who would like to read that? All right, Dan says the mic is yours.
Do not worry that you do not tend to your choice enough, for if you tend to your choice every time you remember, that is enough. For in the tending of your choice, the tending itself will extend until you are tending to your choice in every moment as you desire. For the tending is the mustard seed. Ask me to rain upon your seed and tend whenever you remember. I will lead you to remember more. And the willingness that you just mentioned, even to ask for willingness when I don't have willingness, is what I need to do sometimes. I just took a little moment to regroup, and oh my gosh, it's very peaceful. I don't want to go into that right now anyway, but thank you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Dropping the mic.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to say anything about verses 31 to 32? All right, Kathy, the mic is yours.
I feel very grateful for the first line, don't worry that you don't tend to your choice enough. And it's not so much for me that I don't tend to the choice. I know it seems bizarre, but my dog, you know, I hear Jamie interrupt you in the sense where you have to let her in and out sometimes over the course of, you know, various teachings you've had over the years. And my dog is at a point where if he's laying next to me on the couch, for me to get through an hour of quiet time isn't even possible. I mean, he's starting to whine at me right now. He's like a two-year-old where when they, you know, if you get on the phone or if you attempt to do something that involves solitude, he wants your attention in some way, shape, or form. And if I'm the only one home, sometimes it's necessary for me to attend to that. So I feel like I have these interruptions that used to really upset me. At the same time, it's not that I can't go into another room when my husband is home, but when he's out of town, it just doesn't work that way. I do have to be attentive for again, various, you know, medical reasons with this dog. In letting go of the resentment around that, what I've done with that is I simply attend to whatever need seems to be going on. Like, for instance, this morning, I did 30 minutes with Karen Wirth, and he was completely quiet, and then he, you know, it seems he goes into this mode, you know, halfway through where he turns on his back and thumps his tail and wiggles his butt back and forth and tries to get my attention in a kind way. But then if I don't immediately respond to that, he turns it into a verbal kind of a thing where my attention just seems to be so distracted that it's easier for me simply to get up and to attend to the need. And then what I find myself doing is immediately sitting back down and really wanting and feeling like I want to go back into the meditation. But then oftentimes I'll notice my own needs. You know, I might have to get up and pee or, you know, something silly like that. And it's like, and then the dryer buzzer goes off. And I think, oh my gosh, I need to hang up these shirts before they get wrinkled. And, you know, the next thing you know, 30 minutes has gone by and I've only done a 30-minute meditation. But I've gotten better about forgiving myself for that and just taking the prompts that I feel throughout the course of the day when I do have the opportunity to sit and be quiet or to go in a space where I might have the time to not be disturbed by anything. I take that time for myself. And so I don't feel as judgmental of myself for not, you know, spending the whole hour at one time. And that's all I wanted to share. Thanks, God.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. And I think that's what this is saying. This is saying it's extremely important that we aren't judgmental, because the judgment keeps us stuck in whatever, including these external routines that seem to be in the way, where the acceptance and the doing our best and the willingness can result in not only a change within, but a change in the outer energies. So, you know, I think it's saying that the attitude is actually very important. So it sounds like you're adopting the perfect attitude. You're accepting what is and doing your best, and that's what this is asking for. Phil, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I like this verse, the way you have it hit, especially the first couple lines where it says, worry that you do not tend to your choice enough, for if you tend to your choice, every time you remember, that is enough. That is enough. And that's enough. It's the consistency isn't that we always stay in one little space, but it's that we come back. The consistency comes out of the coming back to. It's not that we never stray away. The faithfulness is about coming back, not that we never go astray. I think the meditation is an excellent way to put this into practice, because the way I was trained to meditate early in my spiritual walk was just to follow the breath, and I've tried different techniques and stuff like that, but the breath seems to work pretty good for me, because it's there with me all the time, for one thing. But I'll follow the breath in, follow the breath out, and I make a commitment to just sit there and watch my breath come in and out. That's not a very complicated thing to do. It's actually a very simple thing to do, but it becomes very, very challenging to stay focused, to stay present with the breath. And all one needs to do is try it, and they will quickly find that within a few breaths, their mind is lost, and it's gone. It's like a dog out of the gate. It's shroom out there. And it's telling you that you have a million other things to do besides give yourself to the quiet. I mean, everything that was insignificant before will take on great significance. And see, that's just the ego doesn't like that. The ego can't handle us being present and focused. It just drives it crazy. And as soon as you make that commitment and that resolve to become still, the ego will get active. It will act up. It will do anything it can to pull you away from that, you know. It's important to establish early in your practice the difference between the will and the desire of the ego, and the will and the desire of the heart. Because the ego, as soon as you sit down, the ego, you're going to feel like you have to get up. You're going to feel like you want to get in. There's going to be all this stuff pulling you to step away from that. To step away from that. But that's the pull of the ego. Now, what's cool about that is in that space, you become very, very familiar with the ego. You become very, very familiar with who you're not. You get to see the difference between the heart that just sits there and watches it all as the watcher, as the witness, the difference between that and the thing that wants to pull you out there, that wants to pull you away from it, you know. But the thing is, what we do is we make that decision to sit there, and perhaps I watch the breath. It can be whatever you want to focus on. you know. But what I do is just every time I the mind takes me away from the breath, I don't beat myself up over it. I don't say I can never do this. No, I've learned to just become aware of it and come back to the breathing. It's a constant going out and coming back, going out and coming back. You know, but the longer I do it, I find that the longer I practice, over a period of time, the amount of time that I stay focused and present compared to the time that my mind has carried me away, there's a gap there now. There's this gap between the time I spend present and the time my mind carries me away, that widens. It grows. There's this expanse of space to where I'm not all crowded out by my mind anymore. And then as I continue that practice, when I get up off my meditation cushion or chair or however you do it, and I go back into my daily life, I can take that practice with me. If I'm doing the dishes, I can put my attention on the dishes just the way I did my breath, just the same manner that I did my breath. If I'm driving my car, I can put my attention on the driving in the same manner that I do my breath. And what that does is it reconditions me, because I've been conditioned in the past to not pay attention to what's right in front of my face. Mm-hmm. But now I'm conditioning myself to be present and to be sensitive to what is going on in me and around me, you know, not to be carried away by it all, but actually to become sensitive to it all, and it makes a big difference. I could go on for hours talking about this. I won't, but the fruits of the practice, I find myself more patient with other people. I find myself to be less impulsive. I find my health better. I find that I'm able to release tension in my body that I never even knew was there before. That tension used to cause me a lot of problems, but because I wasn't even aware that it was there, you know. But the fruits of the practice are definitely worth cultivating. Taking the time to do it helps me stay connected to the peace. And really, there's nothing worth that. There's nothing worth me losing my peace over, you know. So one of the things the practice does is it gives me a way back. It always gives me a way back home. It gives me a way back home to that peace when I lose touch with it. It gives me a way back home to that sense of rightness, to everything being okay, to that joy of just being. It helps me reconnect with the life that's here. And I'm going to stop talking before I keep talking. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Phil. Well, your enthusiasm, you know, is a lot of fun to hear. And of course, what you're saying about meditation is what NTI is saying here. And, you know, if we want to sum it up, we can sum it up as, the old saying, do your best and your best gets better, right? I mean, that's what this is saying. And again, making sure that we aren't judging ourselves because we don't meet some, you know, idea of perfection that we're carrying around in our head. Cindy says, my sound is in and out, so I hesitate to take the mic, although I need say, For the first time, I hear these words of NTI speaking directly to me, to my heart, without effort. Something opened that before went unnoticed. This is the grace given and gratefully accepted. I'm glad to hear that, Cindy. I'm glad that I followed that prompt to skip to this section of NTI, since this will be our last night. It felt like this was the section that we needed to cover before we stop reading NTI together on Thursday nights. Let's go to verse 33 at the top of page 29. Does anybody else want to read this? All right, tell you what, I will read this. It is through your choice, but not through your effort, that the kingdom of heaven is given. For the kingdom of heaven must be a gift given by the Father to you. Choose to be ready to receive the gift. In this way, it is like yeast. The yeast represents the choice, but the rising of the dough is the gift born of that choice. Okay, I think Lynn has just now got the gist of the fact that I'm not going to be doing this. After tonight. I think she just heard that. I was going to email you. She says, is anybody else interested in taking this time for an NTI study group? So if you are, please let her know. Okay, Dances, the mic is yours.
I was just wondering, as an option, maybe, since you do have the recordings, that maybe someone who wanted to take this time slot, and I would gladly do it if I had good enough internet and all that, like play the recording, but then pause it for, you know, hands up or comments or whatever, might be an option too. So that just popped in my head, and I was offering that, dropping the mic.
Yeah, that would be an excellent way to do it. Most of those recordings, by the way, are half an hour to 40, 45 minutes. They very seldom go as long as 50 minutes. They're not a full hour. So even if you played the recording and then had a discussion afterwards, or like you said, paused it during, whatever, however you wanted to do it, that would work. And they were in a live study group, but the only part that was recorded was me speaking. What we did is we'd have a discussion, and then I'd turn on the recorder and I would teach, you know, tonight's reading, and then we would turn off the recorder and we would have another discussion. But the discussions are not recorded, just the teaching. But as for this paragraph, verse 33, choose to be ready to receive the gift. In this way, it is like the yeast. The yeast represents the choice, but the rising of the dough is the gift born of that choice. This is also what I was speaking about when I said, for example, before I even started meditating, you know, 2 years before I really started meditating, I made a commitment to meditate, and I meant that commitment fully. And I would sit down and I would try, and after 10 minutes I would fall asleep. Right? I mean, like, I made this commitment and I was willing and I wanted to, but the ability to meditate for some reason wasn't there yet. And then after about 2 years, I began to have an increased ability to meditate, but it was, you know, usually half an hour to 50 minutes, and maybe a couple of times a week I didn't feel too busy to sit down and meditate. You know, only a couple of times a week would I do it. But I still was willing for more. Right? I was willing for more and for lack of better words, better, you know. And now it's here. And I think it's going to get more and better, you know. But I don't feel like I made the meditation, the quality of meditation that I have now, which is significantly better than it was a year ago. I don't think I made this quality of meditation. It's like one day I closed my eyes and it was there. I referred to it as a shift. That's the way I referred to it, because that's the way it felt. Yesterday, you know, this was the best I could do. And today, boom, this is here. You know, it's a shift, I called it. right? It changed. And that's what this is talking about. It's like a gift. It doesn't really happen through your effort, but through your willingness during the inconsistent time, right? And through your non-judgment of the inconsistent time and doing your best of the inconsistent time. That somehow builds the energy where the shift occurs and boom, suddenly out of nowhere, right, this ability to be much more consistent and much more clear and have much better wisdom, you know, seeing things you weren't seeing before, suddenly it is there. And you didn't make that happen, but you did allow that to happen through your willingness and your non-judgment and your doing your best, even when your best may have seemed very poor compared to what you really wanted, right? Still, not judging yourself, continuing to do your best, you know, being willing, that's what created the energy for the shift. So again, it's really important that we're non-judgmental about where we're at. And very important that we don't compare ourselves to others, because when we compare ourselves to others, we either get very prideful or very judgmental of ourselves. Nancy, the mic is yours.
Hi, everybody. when I was a little bit later, by the time I got in the car tonight, and I thought I caught what I did indeed catch, that this hour was going away, and I have to smile. You know, it's like so at myself, because I've loved this hour, even though I can't, I can only listen for the first half of it, and then participate if guided and called to. But it's been wonderful, as they all are. And you know, I love this, what you're ending with too, because for every one of us, at least I can speak for myself, for every one of us who is drawn, who is called, who does want to be here, and not only here, I mean in the heart, that it is important that we listen to the heart and what it is guiding us to do. this morning, when I went to work, I Googled on, I couldn't remember the whole quote, but just a few of the words of the Nisargadatta quote that I think you used in yesterday's Guiding Light, because I listened to that on Thursday mornings at home. But, you know, and he said, you just keep on trying until you succeed. You know, if you persevere, there can be no failure.
Yeah.
What matters supremely is sincerity, earnestness. You must really have had a surfeit of being the person you are. Now see the urgent need of being free of this unnecessary self-identification with a bundle of memories and habits. This steady resistance against the unnecessary is the secret of success. So I love that this is kind of falls into that for me. And also kind of what's been coming up for me is like a surfeit of the person that I have that I've identified with. And I have noticed also just another kind of opening that I can't really describe, but that something truer that I want to listen to, that wants to step forward. And I also notice the resistance to that, and the trying, and the going back. And Phil, I loved your example of the coming back. It is the coming back. I was speaking with a friend the other day, and she was telling me that, you know, thanking me for my patience with her, which I've talked to her like three times, and I certainly. Nothing that called for patience. And I said, you know, that initial self-judgment that I know that I have had for, you know, since beginning this path, a lot of self-judgment. And it dawned on me that it was like the vision I had was like being, it's baseball season, like being on the plate, and the pitcher is throwing a pitch at you. And the first pitch the ego would throw me was that self-judgment. Maybe first would be the projection, but the first pitch would be self-judgment, and I would swing at that pitch every time. And it was only recently that it's been dawning on me that it is, as we've, you know, how many times have I gone through NTI and the course and in my own contemplation, you know, that self-judgment is not helpful to the path, and that that I could let those pitches go by, that was my job, and to let them go by in sincerity, because I do not want them. I do not want the self-judgment. I want to see beyond the self-judgment and the criticism. And I began to see that as also a defense, that the self-judgment was actually a defense against going any further, because it would be a hurdle. It would be the first hurdle that I would trip over every time, and then I would have to get on the starting block again. And it's all been fine, but it really isn't necessary to continue. And but I guess it was. I don't know. It just feels different now that I can smile at it more, and not and recognize the choice. It says, choose to be ready to receive the gift. Choose to be ready. And I love that. And if that is, you know, a halting practice that gets better and better, or the revelations and the insights that come along the way that are meant for me to get. So I'm going to release the mic, but I just want to thank you again so much for everyone being here. And I love you all.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nancy. We love you, too. I mean, you have been around in my life so many years now, Nancy. I don't even remember how long. I don't know if you know. It's been a long, long time. I remember talking to you and Stephen on the phone when I still lived in North Carolina. So it's been a very, very long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. One thing I do want to say, I said this at the beginning of the hour, but Nancy did not hear it. Oh, wait, Dances has her hand up. Let me say it quickly. Nancy did not hear it, and Lynn did not hear it, so I'll just say again. The reason I decided to let this go is because I realized I'm not doing this for me. I was doing this for others. And right now, you know, although it sounds very selfish, but it really isn't. Right now, I feel like that anything that I am not fully doing for my own development, or that it just isn't really a responsibility of mine, because I do have responsibilities that are a part of my job, for example, and a part of owning a house, for example. But if it's not a responsibility and it's not for my own development, I shouldn't be doing it. It's not the best use of my time. So 7 steps I do for me. There will still be the 7 steps to awakening. The guiding light I do for me. There will still be the guiding light. But this one just wasn't the same. So that's why I'm letting this go. And I will use my time differently. All right, Dances, thank you for your patience. The mic is yours.
Thank you. It's funny because when I first received my copy of NTI, several years ago, Robin Evans, that some of you may remember, was coming through to drop off his dog. So that's been at least 6-7 years ago. Some things happened. I don't have to give all the details of the story. but he changed plans mid-course and lightened his load to get a flight out of Midland, where I was living at the time, and he left me his luggage and a whole bunch of books, and one of them happened to be the NTI. I kind of thumbed through it, the Urantia book. I kind of was into that for a little bit, but it sounded too much like Dante's Inferno. I've heard this before. I went back to ACIM, And then what came to me really is that with NTI, how helpful it is for the heavily brainwashed Christians, fundamental Christian ideas, struggling with the guilt of, oh no, this is not what Jesus said, this is not what God said, how helpful it is for people who still have the fear of, you know, like for me, when I was a kid, it was called questioning God, when that's not at all what I was doing. But that's the thing about NTI, is that it's such a gentle approach to, and I know that, and that's how I know that it was divinely guided. And you know, anybody can say, well, I'm channeling Jesus or I'm channeling God or whatever. Anybody can say that. The people that wrote the Bible said the same thing, I guess. But a message that I got just a little bit ago, I just took some time out, and it was very clear. And it was just that we're all exactly always right where we're supposed to be. And that totally ties in with the don't beat yourself up, because, you know, oh, I forgot to meditate today, or oh, I wasn't disciplined enough, or oh, whatever, you know, they're so far ahead of me, crap, that I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Maybe, I don't know. That's okay to be, I don't know. And I was noticing some resistance to, you know, this being your, wanting it to be, I totally hear what you're saying about, you're following your own guidance. And that's what we're all supposed to be doing. And the goal of any teacher, like the Course says, is for our students to not need us anymore. And, I mean, this is an example of it. So I was noticing some resistance, even though I haven't been like a regular, you know, consistent in the study. I still was feeling, it's just weird, the change. Okay, well, we're not going to do this anymore. And then I thought about Lynn's, like, oh no, she's going to have to redo schedule. That's crazy crap. So don't worry about that. And then I was, then the next thing was, we're not even going to have this format anymore. When it moves from Pal Talk to whatever, but we already went through one transition and it's going just fine, very smooth, even though there was a lot of fear about from it went from, and I've already said this before, went from when the smooth transition from when it was ACIM Gather into Awakening Together. It's smooth. It's like nothing to worry about. And those were the things that were coming up, and they were excellent reminders for me, and I just wanted to share that, and I am so appreciative to all of you. Thank you so much. Dropping the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Dances. And I would say that, you know, you're talking about changes, you know, and I would say that if we stand still, you know, then we're probably not progressing. You know, we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And that's what I said about NTI. I've been through NTI so many times. You know, I really, on my personal level, I feel done with NTI. You know, I mean, I feel done with NTI just like I feel done with A Course in Miracles. It's not what is there for me now, right? So yeah, I appreciate y'all being willing to let me out of this commitment. Lynn, what I can do is send an email out to the ministers to see if any other minister wants to take this time either with NTI or anything else. Of course, anybody else who wants to can, but that's just a group of people that I have easy access to. And so I can send an email out to them. And I will let go of the mic because I know that it is time for our nightly contemplation. And I look forward to seeing you all Sunday morning in the sanctuary when Gloria is our minister. Bye-bye.